Come on, a hand clap of thanks. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I give you thanks for all you've done. Isn't he wonderful? Hallelujah. He's mindful of us. He came to us, the Bible says in John chapter 1, that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, it didn't say nobody received him. It said as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. God is good today. Amen. We're thankful for everyone out today. Give yourself a hand clap. Amen. Good to meet everybody. Alan and his family and everyone. I want to get into the word of the Lord today. I had about three different avenues, and the Lord gave me this one. So I know it'll be good, and I know it'll bless you if you listen. Amen. How many of you know you have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to you? Amen. You have to have an ear to hear. Amen. How about opening up our ears of our heart today and let God speak to us in Jesus' name? Everybody say me. Everybody say me. Amen. Let the Lord speak to us. Luke chapter 14, where we want to go today. Beautiful day the Lord has made. Hallelujah. No God like Jehovah, and behold, he comes. Amen. How many of you want to be ready when Jesus comes? I want to be ready. Amen. Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. It came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answering them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, God who is the preacher, God who is articulate in the word, oh God, today, Lord, we pray. I pray, God, speak to this people. Oh God, feed us, Lord, with that manna from heaven. Anoint these lips of clay, I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated today. Now, I really could just preach off of this, the first part of this. That they watched him. Now, that could be the title, but that's not the title. They watched him. They were wondering, what is he going to do? And I don't know today, I just want the Holy Ghost to move. Hey, man, what is he wanting to do in your life? We're not here assembled in this house by happenstance. It's not this coincidence. We just didn't decide, ding, I guess I'll just get up today and go over there. But there was some purpose, there's some reason why you are here today, and I want to minister. The Holy Ghost wants to reach out to you today in the service. If he hasn't touched you already, he wants to touch you. We look at this portion of Scripture and we find that Jesus associated this situation with a pit. Everybody say pit. We could say pit or we could say pits, but it's not open pit. It's not a barbecue. But Jesus associated the situation with a pit, and we know that a pit, he said, any of you looking at those hypocrites, looking at those scribes and Pharisees, those lawyers and hypocrites who were sitting there waiting to catch Jesus and find fault and find something wrong and to, amen, nag or complain or, amen, they were there for the wrong purpose, but today I'm glad I'm here for the right purpose. Amen. They were always bystanders, always sitting by, waiting to catch him at something, waiting to find fault, instead of opening up their dumb eyes and saying, my Lord, God is doing the miraculous right before our eyes. Amen. And getting in there and saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. They were finding fault. But anyway, they were there, and that's the way it is. And so we see that, amen, they were watching him, Jesus, and, amen, Jesus said to them, you hypocrites, he said, you lawyers, he said, what if any of you has an animal and the animal falls into a ditch or a pit, will you not help them out on the Sabbath day? Now that is a beautiful picture of love. That's a beautiful picture of the heart of God, amen, the nature of God, amen. They were there in this rich man's house, a leader of the Jews, and there to have bread, and they could have made it a casual meeting, and Jesus could have been like everyone else, amen, and just came, amen, for the free meal, amen, but instead, the nature and the heart of God, amen, he sees a man there who is afflicted with the dropsy. I look up dropsy, and it talks about where the swelling of the body is not able, amen, to remove the water off of the body, that the man was sitting there swollen, amen, that the water was bursting through his pores of his skin, amen, and how it was a pitiful condition that the man was in, and Jesus wasn't keyed in on, amen, everything else going on, but Jesus, the heart of God, was keyed in on the man that was afflicted. I don't know what you're going through today, and I don't know who it is in this house, but amen, if you're going through something, let me tell you something. God knows and God cares where you're at. Amen. I said God cares where you're at. Amen. He isn't. Amen. God is not sitting up in heaven on his throne. Amen. Just having angels fly around heaven and slide him over beautiful steaks and ribs and eating high up the hog, if you will, and all of these, amen, things that natural men live in their penthouses and their big office buildings and eating and driving limos and all of that. Amen. But the Bible says he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You see the very heart of God. You see the intent of God. You see God does care. He cares about you. He cares about you. Dropsy was a chronic illness. No doubt the man suffered terribly with anxiety, depression, feeling of hopelessness, please pay attention today. I really want to reach somebody. You know, time is winding down. If I had a clock and I could make it tick, the sound of a clock ticking, I would do it now. The sands of the hourglass are just about done, people. Time is just about out. The end of all things, the coming of Jesus Christ is so near. Amen. It's time that we wake up. It's time that we get in the boat. It's time, amen, that we get serious. It's time that we get help. It's time that we get help. It's time that we quit coming to church and hiding behind a mask. It's time that we quit coming to church and acting like everything is all right. And I don't know who I'm reaching for today. Amen. But I'm reaching for somebody. It's time. Amen. That we be real. It's time that we open up the book. Amen. And let our life be transparent. It's time that we, amen, that we just tell it like, tell it all, give it all to Jesus because, amen, honey, you can't hide anything from him. You can't hide anything from God. You can't, amen, get a lock safe. You can't put it in a firebox. You can't build a lead room that Superman can't even see through. God sees everything. He knows everything. Amen. You can't run. You can't hide. David said, if I make my bed in hell, amen, thou art there. If I ascend to the heavens, thou art there. Amen. God is everywhere. He knows everything. Amen. And let me tell you something today. He cares, and he wants to heal. Brother Chris, there ain't an alcoholic, a drug addict, a prostitute that God doesn't want to heal. Oh, God, help us today. That's the heart of God. God, give us the vision. God, help us to reach those people. Brother Chris is on the verge of a great revival. There is a revival stirring. And we have got to get the mind of Christ. God, how do we reach them? How do we get them? How do we get them? How do we get the gospel? We got to, amen, what kind of lure? What kind of, instrument? What kind of utensil? How do we, amen, you said that you would make us fishers of men. Help us, God. Help us to reach these people as God is reaching for you today. The man suffered with this illness. I believe Christ felt his pain. I say it again. I believe Jesus felt his pain. They were worried about the Sabbath. They were worried about their little religion. I don't want you to have to digest through the crackles and pops. But we see that David went through a terrible experiences in his life. And we see that David wrote in Psalms chapter 40, amen, that he brought me up out of a horrible pit. It wasn't, amen, just a bad pit. It wasn't just a, amen, something that I just barely, you know, made it through, or, you know, the typical woe pit. But David said, an horrible pit. Out of the miry clay. Clay pit. He was stuck, amen, in that pit, and he couldn't find his way out. But he said, he brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay with him. Amen, honey. Amen. Hell is hot. Amen. Come on. Where the...
Let's go secular to bring out the spiritual. Abraham Lincoln was considered by many Americans a most successful president. It was strange that he was a man marked for failure, a man suffering from some melancholia, a terrible depression. He endured long periods of depression throughout his life. He could barely see out of one eye. He had frequent nervous attacks, severe headaches, indigestion, nausea. He had a couch placed near his desk in the White House so he could quickly lie down when one of his spells came. When Lincoln was 10 years old, he was kicked in the head by a horse, and experts now believe that the skull was severely fractured, leaving him with this lifelong problems. When he came to deliver the now famous address at Gettysburg, he was coming down with smallpox. Lincoln failed business in 1831, defeated for the legislature in 1832. Next year, he suffered another business defeat in 1836. He had a nervous breakdown. He failed to be elected speaker in 1838. He was defeated for elector in 1840, defeated for Congress in 1843, as well as in 1848. Lincoln failed to be elected to the Senate. In 1855, he was defeated for the vice presidency. In 1856, for the Senate. In 1858, however, being elected to president in 1860, he could afford all of those failures. It's the difference between Abraham. I don't know his walk with God, but you're alive. He isn't. As long as you're alive, there's the opportunity for healing. A pit can also be a trap. Everybody say a trap. The devil is a good trapper. He's good at laying traps. So a pit can also be a trap that someone or something cannot get out of. If it's deep enough, you can't get out of it. Hello? Without help. But I have good news for you today. God wants to bring you out of your pit. And the title of this message today is Pits to Praise. He wants to bring you out of your pit to the place of praise. David came out of his pit. Not for sure exactly what the pit was, but David came out. David came out and he wrote this psalm in Psalms chapter 46, and he said, God is our refuge. You must realize that God is your refuge. He is your strength when you're at your weakest point, when you don't have no energy left, when your battery is in the red, when you buy these toys, you're given those freebie batteries, and some of them seem like they last forever, and it's like, will that toy ever shut up? You go to the yard sale or the Goodwill, and the toy is still making noise after five families tried to get rid of the toy. But I will say, amen, one thing's for sure, eventually the batteries will run out. And the same way it is, amen, with our walking God, somewhere along the way, if we don't keep it charged, our battery is going to run out, baby. Amen. I said our battery is going to run out if we don't stay connected. Amen. If we don't stay plugged in, if we get, amen, too far away from the power source. And that's what the devil does. The devil got Eve wandering around the garden at a different tree that she knew she shouldn't be around the tree. Amen. Come on. I said, and he got her away from the tree of life. Amen, that if she would eat from the tree of life, she could live forever. But the devil got her down, amen, over there and beguiled, smooth talking. Amen, come on, honey. Amen, I got something better over here. You better listen to what this preacher's saying. Amen, the devil, if he can lure you away, amen, from the charge of God. Amen, if he can lure you away from God, and your walk with God and your love for God. Come on. Eve should have loved Adam enough. Amen. But he seduced her. Amen. Into, amen, not loving Adam quite as much. Everybody say snake. Everybody say snake. The devil is a snake. And the devil wants to destroy you. He doesn't care what avenue. He doesn't care what temptation. He doesn't care. But he knows what you like.
He knows your weaknesses. And we know that the Bible teaches, because we have the understanding that the woman is the weaker vessel. He didn't go, amen, over there trying to beguile Adam. Adam would have probably gave him a black eye. Come on, you sucker. Amen, I'm going to knock you out. Don't you try to get me over there messing around that tree. Amen, but he got to hold the weaker vessel. Amen, and so we know that the Bible teaches us the woman is the weaker vessel, that she is, amen, she is led by emotions and feelings. Amen, come on, we got to, oh, help me out today. You better pay attention and realize, amen, the devil wants to get you. Amen, he wants to destroy you. Amen, he wants to see you burning in hell forever, but it isn't worth it. There ain't nothing in this world worth going to hell over. I said there ain't nothing in this world worth going to hell over. Amen, come on. I said there ain't nothing in this world worth going to hell over. Amen, come on. I said we better wake up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. God, get me out of this pit. The gospel rope is being let down for you today. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is a very present help in trouble. David came out of his pit and he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Key to keeping your battery charged is to bless the Lord at all times. It matters what you feed yourself. The only social connections you need is a Holy Ghost connection. Young people, I got a warning for you. When that internet first came out, it destroyed so many Pentecostal homes. Sister Angie can testify. She was a victim of that early. It was something new. It was something, you know, whatever. And them stupid chat rooms and stupid social manipulations. You don't hear me today. They'll say the right thing. Honey, you pretty, honey, this, that, and that, and this. You better get what I'm saying, amen. We better take guard. We better guard ourselves. We better guard our heart. We are, amen, the defenders of our fate. Not only are we preachers are defenders of the faith, we are defenders of our faith. It is up to us. We have a choice. Amen. We have a choice to do right or do wrong. We have a choice. Amen. There is no mean, ugly, 12-foot devil standing behind me up here ready to punch me in the nose. Amen. We have a choice whether we're going to listen to that devil or we're not going to listen to that devil. We have a choice who we're going to listen to, who we're going to hang around, where we're going to go. Amen. What we're going to see, what we're going to hear, what we affect ourselves, what we involve ourselves with, we have a choice about our destination in life. Choose. That's why the Bible says, choose you this day who you will serve. And Joshua said, as for me and my house, you better make a choice. And let me tell you this while I'm at it. Amen. Your choices will affect your house. Hello? I said, your choices will affect your house and your children and your children's children. Amen. Hallelujah. Huh? Your choices will affect. And so we know Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when we look in the scripture and we find, amen, the nature and the heart of God, amen, even though you may be going through something, even though you may be in a pit and you can't find your way out, amen, Jesus wants to help you out. He doesn't want to, amen, irregardless of what the old devil's telling you, he don't care and you might as well quit. You can't live for God. No matter what you do, you're always messing up. You just might as well give up and go out and just get yourself all, huh? Brother Chris, how many times the devil told you that? Huh? Every day. He's told me that. I don't listen. That's why I listen to Acts238radio.com. Huh? My whole house listens to it. Hello? They ain't listen to the young and the restless and the young and the dumb and whatever else that stuff is. I was at somebody's house the other day when I was working doing a test on the home, and they had the old soap operas on there and a young girl sitting there, and I was like, "Are they still alive?" She started laughing. She said, "Yeah." I said, "It's the same." I said, "How can you watch that?" I did. I said, "How can you watch that?" I said, "It's the same thing since 1962. It's the same thing. This one's cheating on this one. That one's cheating on this one. And blah, blah, blah." I said, "It's the same thing. They just, some of them get older and uglier. And they bring on a new batch. And then they just do the same thing. Ain't nothing new. It's the same thing." Hello? That's right. So it matters what you put into your ears and your eyes. Amen. Hello. Amen. I said it matters. The Bible says, "He that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting." It's time that you plug in. Amen. Plug in to the, amen, the big screen of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hook up. Amen. Power up. Amen. God is your refuge and your strength, a very help in the time of trouble. Amen. Pull up to his table. Pull up to his altar. Pull up to his house. Amen. God, he is a comforter. He is a counselor. He is a doctor. He is a lawyer. He is everything that we ever needed. Amen. We need to plug in, hook up to Jesus Christ. Amen. And not be plugged in to the other dude. Hello? I travel with my job, and I'm gone all the time, right? I have not turned a TV on in my hotel room one time. Amazing. You can do it. You don't have to have it. JR is done shot. Luke chapter 13. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, verse 10, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. And could in no wise lift herself. She was in a pit. And she was in a pit she could not get out of. She could not lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, did he kick her down? Say, "I'll put a little toy out there for her to trip on and fall." A lot of folks in this world will kick you when you're down. Come on, but I'm not here to kick you when you're down. I'm here to pull you up. So when Jesus saw the woman, he called her to him. Something got a hold of Jesus. I'm telling you, if you have a sincere heart, if you want to do right, if you want to do right, if you want healed, if you really want to live for God, you can. I said, if you really want to live for God, you can. Why? Because he'll come to you. He'll help you. He'll pick you up. Amen. The woman came to Jesus there. Amen. And what did he do? Amen. He said, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. Sometimes God will set people free of their infirmities. Amen. Just like, amen, the world, secular, Christian, religious people want to say, well, Jesus forgave the woman and adultery, and amen, Jesus ate with sinners and all this and that. But you know what Jesus said? He said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So some folks, amen, you get your healing. You get pulled out of the pit, amen, you jump right back down in the pit. You don't need to jump down in no pits, amen. You need to realize Jesus is coming, amen. The end is here, amen. Come on in. It's no time to be caught in a pit, amen. It's time to be loose, amen. Jesus said, woman, thou art loose, amen. Why is this church here, amen, on Marcus Street in Redbud? Because Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, came to set people free. He came to loose people. He came to bind up the brokenhearted, set at liberty the captive, amen, to open up the prison doors. He came to save this world. He died on Calvary for our sins and for our transgressions. He was wounded. He was bruised for our iniquity. Amen. They laid upon him in Pilate's hall, the old mean soldier, amen, laid stripes upon Jesus' back, and every stripe and lick and blood that he shed, amen, was because of our sins. Our sin. Our sins. He was innocent. He knew no sin. Come on, that's got to get a hold of your heart. He was innocent. He knew no sin. He was a spotless lamb, John said, the spotless lamb to take away the sins of the world. The suffering that he went through, the cross that he bore, you can live for him because of what he did for you. If you don't want to do it for yourself, you do it because of what he did for you. Woman, thou art loosed. He laid his hands on her. Immediately she was made straight. Jesus is the very source of all healing in life. Do you notice that the world ended up in death? When they ate of the tree of evil, knowledge of good and evil, everything began to degenerate and die. When you eat from the wrong tree, you're going to die. But when the tree came back to us, life started springing forth. The Bible teaches us, if you can understand the scripture, Jesus was the tree of life. He was the tree of life. He used different analogies, said, I am the bread. Man eat thereof, he shall never die. He said, the bread that I will give is my flesh, and I will give it for the life of the world.
I am the door. If by me any man enter in, he shall be saved. I am the light of the world. He that walketh in darkness, if he follows me, he shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He was the very source of life. Life came from him. He created all things. That's how he could heal. That's how he could restore. He was touched with the effects of sin in people's lives. And so he came to heal. Matthew chapter 10, not only did Jesus come to heal and to pull people out of the pit, he empowered his disciples to do the same. The church is here for the same purpose, and that is to heal. He called on him his 12 disciples. He gave them power against unclean spirits. We do not have to listen to the devil. Power to cast them out. Power to heal sickness and disease. He said, when you go, he said, preach the kingdom of heaven. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. This is our instructions. Freely have received, freely give. And I'll throw in this scripture here that he preached on the Sermon on the Mount when he was teaching his disciples. And I know this is tough, and it's tough for all of us because we're big. We're big people, big thinkers. And he said, judge not that ye be not judged. Now, he didn't say just let anything and everything go. That is not what he was saying. You know what Jesus was saying, and I'll give it to you. In an analogical picture. The world is full of sin. And the irony is, in the days of Noah, I'll use the ark. The ark was big. They built one down there in Kentucky. Life size. Whole world, the whole secular world is all in an uproar about it. They hate it. Built a giant replica of the ark, Noah's ark. The ark was big. And in Noah's day, when the world was full of wickedness and violence and man had polluted and corrupted God's way, that the man's heart was evil continually, that ark was up on a hill. Everybody saw it. It was not something strange. It was not something a secret. Everybody knew about it. Everybody talked about it. Everybody, amen, was gossiping about it. Said he was crazy. And so John 3:17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The tyranny is not that man is sinful, because we know we're capable of the worst, horrible sins. And we all know it. So I don't have to tell you. You know it. But the irony of it all is that there is an ark, there is a way of escape, and it is up to you to get on board, baby. Amen. Jesus Christ died for your sins on the hill of Calvary. It's big. This gospel has been preached from the beginning of time all the way to today. This gospel has been preached, and everyone has heard. Everyone knows. Everyone knows that this world is sinful and full of sin. Amen. But it is up to you to get saved. It's up to you to live right. It's up to you to do right. It's up to you to stay doing right. It's up to me to stay doing right. So, He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the message today. There is good news. There's a God that loves you. And he wants to save you out of your pit. And he wants to bring you to an altar of praise. I don't know what your testimony, but I know mine, and I know half of Brother Chris's. Amen. When we come to this altar, amen, it is an altar of praise. Where God brought us from. It's an altar of praise. Because we should have been the ones in those caskets that we seen or heard of our friends. It's terrible. Terrible. But that's grace. God wants to bring us out of our pits. Let's stand. Let's bow our heads to stay. Gracious God, I did my part. I know you did your part. There's someone, you're going through a situation, or maybe you're in a pit today. This altar is open. Don't have to be a deep pit. It could just be a small one. Jesus cares. Jesus cares. Jesus cares. He came to save. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. Come on, church. Let's reach. Let's reach. Let's reach. Jesus. Jesus. Come on, this altar ought to be full today. Come on, make it an altar of praise. If it isn't a pit, make it an, if you're not in a pit, make it an altar of praise. But if you're in a pit, cry out. And he'll reach for you today. Jesus. Jesus.